want you to miss the mark. He wants you to know.
Every day ends, you die. So every day you die. People say, I'm worried about dying. Well, you've been dying for 365 days a year. Don't worry about the world resurrection. Worry about your resurrection.
So it's restoration time.
Welcome to our program on restoration. This program is titled, Is This Such a Fast That I Have Chosen? If you have any questions, comments, or need more information, you can reach us at jerusalem.org, that's with a G, or write us at Box 271, Willard, Ohio, 44890. Get your Bible, pencil, and paper ready, and join us as we journey on the road to higher vision. Now turn with us, if you will, in your Bibles to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verse 5, as Brother Glenn O. Baker talks about a true fast.
Is this such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? It is to bow down his head as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord? It is not this the fast that I have chosen. Now watch. Here is the fast that the Lord has chosen. Here is the fast the Lord has chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness. You want to get humble? This is how you get humble now. We're halting now. Now let's give, because the answer is in giving. And then you'll receive. What, you plant one little seed in the ground of a ear of a corn, and what do you get? Two stalks with all kinds of seeds. So there's the answer. What you're receiving, telling you the state that you're in. What you're receiving is telling you the state that you're in. You're receiving all kinds of misery, and I can't ever seem to pay my bills. I can't ever seem to give enough to give anybody anyhow. And I don't have enough, and I wouldn't know what, even that which I had, if I gave it out. It wouldn't do no good anyhow. See, that's what you're reaping back. That's what we've been sowing. It says to undo the heavy burdens. You know somebody that's got really a heavy burden? We need to fast for them, don't we? And to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke, in other words, every bond that holds down, that's holding anything in any measure, we ought to get the place to where we're able to release these things. Is it not to deal the bread to the hungry? And that thou being the poor, that thou cast out of thy house, and when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Now, a lot of this we don't see in the natural. Because we're living in the richest country under heaven, and a lot of things are hid from us. And so he's talking about doing this naturally, because he has to use a natural aspect to bring us to where we're at in 1990. And now if you apply all this, starting at the 7th verse, and saying, is not to deal the bread to the hungry. And what about people in here that's not receiving from the Lord spiritually? Getting anything from the Lord? Holy Ghost showing anything? Come on. Is the Holy Ghost showing anything? Have we fasted to the place to where the Holy Ghost is starting to show these people something? To break that bond that's keeping them from receiving from the Lord? Can you understand what it's saying here? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, to bring them back now. We'll start to clothe them with the robe of righteousness, or the right way of doing things. And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. In other words, see yourself and then admit exactly what you are. And then shall thy light break forth. Now, if you do it this way, then your light will break forth. Then the humility automatically comes forth. As the morning. And thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteous or right way shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Because he's going to reveal things to you and you're going to shine. You remember Jesus said, glorify me. And he says, I've already glorified you, but I'm going to glorify you some more. And where was the glory at? When God gave him something to do, when about healing the sick, raising the dead, he done all these things, he was getting glory. You know that? Doing the things of God, he was getting glory. And he says, glorify me. He says, I'm going to glorify you. I've done it. I'm going to do it even more. I'm going to give you more. So you get glorified by receiving things from God. And then you exercise the things in God, and then you get glory. And then you'll be in, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord will answer. Now, what do you want from God? I want something from the Lord. And he'll give it to you. He said he would here. Then I'll answer. Then shalt thou cry, and he shall say, here I am. And if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, or all these things that's holding you down or burdening you down, and putting forth the finger, pointing at things that everybody out here, when you're pointing to somebody, you got three fingers, look at that, I got three of them pointing right back at me. Pointing right back at me. I'm three times worse than anybody ever pointed at. Did you know that? Well, this so-and-so, yeah, but you got three things. I don't see anything. The only thing you're seeing is what you're pointing at. You don't see these other because they're hid. Did you see that? Yeah, they're hid. You don't see them. They're hid. They're on the bottom. They're hid. On top's what revealed. Can't see anything. If you could see, you wouldn't even be pointing. You'd be hiding them all. And putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity or vain things, things you don't even know what you're talking about. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in the obscurity where you can't see, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. In other words, you'll really be able to see things as they really are. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, or when you're hungry, or wherever times, hard times come up on you, you're not going to be messed out. Because David made it plain that he'd never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So you don't complain or moan and groan about what you can't do. If things get hard on you, you don't ask nobody to pray for you or do anything like that. You look up the Lord and say, oh, thank God, I know you're looking down on me now and you really love me. Man, that's a change, ain't it? Just the opposite to the way we do. And the Lord looks down and you say, man, look at my servant down there. I'll get him. Didn't Satan say, I'll get him. So what'd he do? If anybody had a right to complain, and he said, remember the patience of Job. Why would Jesus say, remember the patience of Job? And Jesus, in the scripture, made it plain, have you considered my servant Job, how faithful and righteous and a man that's really after my heart? God up there bragging about old Job. Now think of God bragging about you when you're doing the complaining. What could the Lord do to you? What could the Lord do to you to reveal yourself to you except work on you to show you exactly how you are to know? That's the only way I know that you'll be able to see what state you're in. Don't hide yourself from yourself. Is the Lord delighting in you? And what did he do to Job? I brought him down. Boils, hardships, was even got right down, took his kids away, and even got his wife down. He didn't have nobody. He still stood firm. And you ought to see what Job got after he stood firm. Because here he was standing now before these forces of the whole earth and heaven and saying, go ahead. I'll show you how he stands. Are we that loyal? I got offended. I ain't coming back tomorrow. They ain't offended me. I'll go somewhere else. Bible said, looking for people to tickle your ears. You need to go somewhere else. You don't need to come back. It won't work. Got to get your heart set. Got to get it straight. Got to check your values. Find out if this is what you really want. Are you really willing to go all the way to where you want to put away the old man? You want to put away the beast in you? Because that's where it starts in the first place. If it didn't have any humans, we wouldn't need any, would we? What was the man created, and then the beast and everything was created for the man? And darn it, we didn't substitute all that for God, thinking we got something. And I don't know if anybody can walk around saying they got something more than somebody else. They do that, they'd be ashamed of themselves. Because it won't work. All right, and make fat thy bones, that's what he'll do for you, and shalt be like a water garden, like the spring of water, and whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Remember all them places that was tore down, or all the teachings that's passed away, or all the good times that we used to be involved in, but now they're gone. Boy, it wasn't like that when I was young. Why not? He said he'd tear them down and make it like that. And thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. You. It's talking about you as an individual now. Remember, the scripture is written unto individuals in God. Nobody else. Individuals in God. This is what you'll do. Well, I couldn't do nothing. Don't tell me that, because the scripture says that you can do something. Look at the world, how they do things. One man exalts and goes beyond another. One for Edison, you wouldn't even be sitting under lights here. We wouldn't be having a meeting if we had a bunch of candles around. Where'd you get all that from? From Edison. Where did he get that from? You ever wonder where he got it all from? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You ever wonder why you're getting your heat down there? It's blowing up here. Where'd it come from? Did it come from God, or did it come from the other? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder about in 1990, and the scripture says in the last days knowledge shall be increased? Did that come from the Lord, or did that come from the other one? From the beast. Where'd it come from? Do you know that? These are some thoughts you ought to get involved in and see if you can dig them out. Well, you'd be surprised what you're allowed to come up with. It's amazing. There's all kinds of things that need to be. God can give you and stir your mind up to where there's no such a thing as any boredom at all in any measure. Matter of fact, I don't even know how these ones that actually really want to live, that goes through life down, no wonder they're committing suicide all the time. They ain't giving up anything. Only I see they're giving up a bunch of misery. But one of you's walking in heavenly places. Huh? One of you is receiving the Lord all the time. One of you is going out in things, and angels are visiting you, is having all kinds of big times. You ain't nowhere in heaven. You want to give that up, do you? No. So if you're feeling bad, you're having a hard time, Lord bless you. The only thing I can see is God's really trying to stir you, trying to draw your attention for some. I'm praying that God will continue right on doing it until you get what you're after. Because you need it, or it wouldn't be given unto you. Why is God harder on me than my next door neighbor? Because he loves you more. You need this more. Your neighbor didn't come to that state. When he comes to that state, he'll get it just like you do. I'm writing an article now on the great scoreboard of God. So you could start to begin to understand that God's no respecter of persons. And everything that's taken place in the earth is for a reason. It's for a reason. And God ain't up there down there picking on one person and not picking on another. These are all reasons why these things. These are laws that have been broken. You may not even been involved in the law that was broken. But you're a part of it. Now, can you imagine an apple with an old rotten spot in it? And that rotten spot's getting bigger. And the apple said, I didn't do anything. That's a good part. I didn't do a thing. Why is this happening to me? Because the spot's there, and it's growing to the whole apple. But I didn't have anything to do about it. I know you didn't have anything to do about it. But that's the way it is. That's the way nature is. But what happened? Where'd the spot come from? Had to start from somewhere. The Bible says a little leaven. You know what leaven is? Yeast. A little tiny bit of yeast. A little tiny speck of yeast. It's got to be purged from you. Do you know this? And God said, thou shalt not eat of that tree. One speck started that apple to rot and grow into the whole apple. And what did he have to do with the apple? He already made it plain. When the spot got there, he already had put judgment. One spot there, and here we are in 1990, and we got to take the judgment for it. Why? I didn't do that. They done that. This is the way the law is established. And that we need to understand divine law, divine intervention, then according to law. So we can understand the state that we're in at any time, and no matter what's happened, we can look up the Lord and say, Lord, we really understand what you're doing. We love you. Keep it up. And think of all the children and the kids in here now. They weren't back there, were they? They weren't back there, were they? But they're going to have to pay the price. What'd they do wrong? And these little children out here in these cars, you ever see them out here? Mother's driving down the road or father driving down the road and they have an accident. The kids get mashed up and killed. And they come out, parents, what did happen to my children? Why did God take me? My, the 70-year-old man, God take me, I want to die anyhow. This little child, over 5 or 6 year old, all mashed to pieces and God took it. Why? You ever wonder why? And you say, well, I wouldn't serve a God that mean or that way. You don't even understand him. If you understand him, you say, Lord, you know what you're doing. We need to understand and know why God's doing what he's doing. So get involved. Because these are little tricks that the enemy uses to keep you divided. And as long as it keeps you divided, you're unstable. And the Bible says an unstable man or an unstable person is a divided person and it won't receive anything from the Lord. So what's that mean? That means you're going to have to get to a place to where you're able to divide and separate and keep singular. The most important thing is to keep singular. Keep singular. The most important thing for the enemy is what? Is to keep you divided. To keep you feeling sorry for yourself. Is to keep you lowly. Is to keep you acknowledging that you can't obtain unto God. That you can't know nothing. Or there's no answer for this. You listen to that nonsense. Got too much scripture, too much Bible, too many men of God's telling us the opposite. And when will that take place? The day that you go after the Lord with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind. The first commandment was named first for a reason. The first commandment was named first for a reason. And as much as the beast has tried to pervert the thing, they still can't take the truth of the matter away. Can't take it away. Because I'll make it known unto you. I'll make your darkness as noonday. You'll be able to see. You do what I tell you to do, and I'll make you clothed with righteousness and give you eternal life. I'll make you to the place to where them people's down there feeling sorry for themselves. They don't know where they're coming or going or can't weigh out anything. And I'll make everything plain unto you, and you'll have a smile on your face. Something will be going on to you that I can't give unto the neighbors. Why can't you give it to them, Lord? Because they have to go through the same thing that you went through. That'd be a change, wouldn't it? Parents really showing the children where it should be. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, all right, from doing thy pleasure, which will be on a Wednesday this year, and on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. How can I call it a delight when I don't even know what day it is? I don't even know what day it is. Well, it's Saturday. It's Saturday. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. I got all of nature. And I got all, listen, I got all of nature. Do you know this? I got all of nature and I got divine scripture. I got the revelation that you can't see made known or brought to light to prove that Wednesday of this year is the Sabbath. You mean the Seventh-day Adventist is going to really humble down and say, we missed the mark, Brother Glenn, and we're going to acknowledge that from here on out. Can you see them doing that? Can you see the Methodists and the Presbyterians and some of the Pentecostal churches saying, boy, we're going to humble right down and we're going to have it and we're going to take Sunday and we're going to put it exactly where it belongs. So if the seventh day now, I want you to listen, is on a Wednesday, then what's the first day? What is the first day of the week then? On a Thursday. Anybody know the one comes after seven, or do you? Do we know that much yet? I think. All right. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, because that's what the Sabbath is all about, resting from your ways. That's the real Sabbath, resting from your ways. That's the real Sabbath. And honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure. This is what I think. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for 3 or 4 hours, and if God don't give me the answer, then I'm going to intervene and do it myself. Now, the Bible says that if they slap you on one side of the cheek, you turn the other. Well, I run out of cheeks. You ever hear that? I run out of cheeks. And the scripture says, and that you don't find your own pleasure, or you don't run out of cheeks, or you don't put time before the Lord and set your heart accordingly. That's all it's saying. Nor speaking thine own words. This is what I think. This is what I feel. And this is what I believe. And I don't care what anybody says. And you don't speak your own words. Now you shut your big mouth. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. You won't have anybody delight in, will you? Then you'll be pure. You'll be able to go before the Lord. You'll really be humble then. Talk about humility. There's where humility comes in. After you've exhausted everything that you've done, after you come under subjection to what God says, then you begin, and I will cause thee to ride upon the higher places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's the quickest way that I know that you can obtain anything under the Lord almost immediately, is by obeying. And read the 58th chapter over and over and over and over until you get the revelation. That way you won't have to wait 10 or 15 or 20 years trying to catch the Lord. You talk about catching the Lord. You want something from the Lord? You ask and he said he'd give it to you. Now there's what asking means. Putting some legs on asking. You put your legs on asking and you'll get it. There's where it's at. I asked the Lord. He didn't come to my rescue. And the Bible says ask. And he said that. The scripture says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now shall you. I've been believing, yeah, like we've been asking. We believe like we've been asking. Are we really saved then, huh?